Howdy, friends, and welcome into Gridiron Frogs Podcast as a part of TCU Horned Frogs on SI. I'm your host, Just Nolan, because you can't handle the Ruth, a Fort Worth area native with very interesting and peculiar ties to TCU. And I'm joined by my partner in crime, JD Andrus, the voice of KillerFrogs.com, who co-hosts at least every show that we have. All but one, actually, right, JD? There's one you don't host.
Yes, there's
All right,
one.
yeah. This is episode 23 of our show covering TCU football and a smattering of other topics related. Today is Tuesday, the 19th of November, at the time of this recording. And JD, I have to ask you, and I thought about this for a minute. Are you already in the Christmas spirit, or are you a firm after Thanksgivinger?
I hate Christmas. I'm gonna say it. My family calls me the Grinch.
Whoa!
I hate Christmas. I hate
Bah
Christmas music.
humbug!
Yeah, I hate Christmas music. Yeah, no, it's my least favorite holiday out of all of them. So,
Can why? Why? I feel like you owe the people an explanation here.
well, I don't know. People just like they're too happy, you know? Like it's not genuine.
Lord, you are a pessimist.
Yeah,
Jeez.
I my family calls me the Grinch, and for good reason. I don't know. I've never liked Christmas. Probably never will until I have kids, and then. Yeah, just not my thing. Let's take it one. If your Christmas decorations are up right now, shame.
Okay, so I take that even though you hate Christmas, you are an after Thanksgivinger at least, though. If you did, okay, all right.
Absolutely.
He's nodding for those who aren't watching and
Yes.
listening. He's nodding. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So then let me ask you this then. Just sidebar, because now I'm intrigued, actually. I feel this is more entertaining than what we're actually about to talk about. What's the next holiday you actually look forward to after Thanksgiving? If you look forward to Thanksgiving after Thanksgiving.
I don't know, probably like not really big New Year's guy either. Like probably St. Patrick's Day.
And you drink too much, I swear.
It's my birthday weekend.
Okay,
It always is.
all right, fair enough. I'll give you that. Well, Christmas is mine, but I'm not a big fan of Christmas either.
Well, because you're
I think
smart.
that's a crap excuse.
Well, there's no other really big holidays. Valentine's Day is not a holiday.
Amen.
President's Day? Question mark? I don't know.
Hey, man. Yeah, you know what? I'll acknowledge that one. Come on, President's Day. Let's
Yeah.
go.
I'll
It's a
but I
federal
mean
holiday. It's
really
a federal holiday.
the next holiday I'm looking forward to is baseball opening day, which is March 27th next year. So it's really kind of all I'm looking forward to.
Oh man, what an interesting conversation. Well, folks, we got to make this a quick one because, and if, by the way, disclaimer, if you probably already heard, my voice is not at 100% because last night I was screaming from the 319 section of the American Airlines Center at the Dallas Stars, who choked 4-2 against the Ducks. So I'm going to just ask some questions and let JD kind of talk more than me, but I will have some things to say. Now, though the Frogs did not play, wow, what a week. And I know that the number one thing that JD is anxious to talk about is that the BYU Cougars are no longer undefeated. But within an hour of this podcast being started, they are still they're only the one of the among the first two out of the playoff ranking right now, which means they still have a guaranteed spot in the playoff as it stands. JD, this is your number one topic that I know you've been waiting for. What are you thinking?
First of all, it was about time. I mean, you can only flirt with losing so much before it finally comes back to bite you. And my God, did it bite them. I'm going to venture to say, and I watched the whole game from beginning snap to the end of it, BYU was never competitively in that game against Kansas. And it's just kind of been the story of it all year. And Tori and I talked about this before we recorded the women's basketball podcast. It was. Anyone who compared them to the 2022 team, TCU team, you're blatantly wrong. Like the 2022 TCU team played a lot of teams close and needed some overtime to win some games, needed some comebacks, needed things to go their way. Same way BYU needed things to go their way. But TCU is doing this against top 15 rated teams, top 15 Kansas State, top 15 Oklahoma State. They blew Oklahoma out of the water. Like it wasn't like they were playing, a Utah team who has not found their footing all season. It's not like they needed a last 15-second touchdown against an Oklahoma State team who's still winless in conference to win. Like, there were levels to it, and BYU never reached that level. BYU was the classic definition of, well, what do you do when a team is undefeated, but they still aren't good? And that's kind of why you're seeing BYU ranked where they are. I have been BYU's number one hater all season. Jake Retzlaff, if by any chance in the world you listen to this, I've been your number one hater. And I'm sorry, the haters were right for this one. So I'm going to take credit in it because it was due. At no point should they have, like, congrats. You won a lot of games in a row. Everyone's proud of you. Everyone's happy for you. But, like, it's fool's gold. You were never really as good as anticipated and kind of finally came back and caught them.
This doesn't really mess up the conference championship outlook right now. I mean, it still looks like the Cougars are going to be one of the teams playing in Arlington. But now we've got Arizona State ranked, and that came out just an hour ago, and they play BYU this week. I got to ask you, how are you feeling about that one?
I still think Arizona State wins. I think if you had asked me 2 weeks ago, even 3 weeks ago, I still would have put Arizona State winning. But also, on the contrary, I've picked BYU to lose every game, I think, since the beginning of the season. And also, like, another thing, too, with the whole Arizona State and BYU playing this weekend is it's a really big conference championship implications game. You're looking at maybe Iowa State playing in the conference championship. Colorado just needs to win out and they play. Maybe Arizona State sneaks their way in. Like, there's a lot that can still happen. And this is a really, really big game for the conference. And if anyone here has any SMU affiliations, like, you're kind of cheering for BYU at this point because, like I just said, yeah, BYU was unbeaten and is still highly ranked. But a lot of people around the country just don't believe that they are actually good. And it's why that it's hurting SMU's ranking because their only loss is to BYU at home. Like, and it was a sloppy, sloppy game for both teams. Like, I don't know. I guess, Nolan, I know your voice isn't 100% there, but I'm going to fire a question at you. Like, would you rather the Big 12 miss the playoffs completely, or would you rather them do where they are now and you're a BYU 12 seed facing Ohio State on the road in the first round of playoffs? Because either way, you're looking at
This is a good
bad,
question.
potentially bad optics either way.
Yeah, this is a good question. I feel like probably the one that would go easiest on the Big 12 is if we were to miss it completely, just because of the realignment and just the hecticness of Arizona and Arizona State joining the conference, as well as Utah. And I mean, even just the even though this is their second year, the four other schools, Cincinnati, UCF, Houston, and BYU, that addition, I mean, realignment has hit Big 12, I think, probably harder than any other conference, aside from the Pac-12, obviously. But among conferences that are still alive, I think Big 12 is probably the one that got hit by the realignment train the hardest, because the entire outlook of this conference changed. What happened to the SEC? You added a couple schools just to the west side. Texas was already an SEC state because of A&M, so you add the Longhorns and you add Oklahoma, which is just the north, and that's kind of a package deal. Big Ten, you go a little further outside. You get Oregon and Washington, and then SC and UCLA. Those were additions that they wanted, and that was for the benefit. Big 12 kind of got a little. Kind of got picked apart by losing OU and Texas. You lost your two strongest competitors over the past decade, and you're trying to fill that void. Now, I think that the teams that you've brought in are decent, and that's clearly being proven by BYU's season this year and Arizona State making a case for themselves this year as well. But no, I would rather us miss a postseason for 1 year and kind of just regroup after this one hectic year where no one's really used to what's going on right now. I would rather that happen than to have our one representative go to Ohio State and get beat at Columbus really bad. That'd be my answer.
Yeah, I think it's either way, you're kind of looking at it as a lose-lose situation, right? Like, there's already a stigma after TCU got, embarrassed in the national championship by Georgia that the Big 12 can't get beat. And you're just like, it's a lose-lose. Like, you're not gonna win this. And I don't know. I guess I'm still kind of on the fence about it, just because I feel like missing a team entirely is a really bad look in a conference, but also you don't want your one team to go and lose by, seven touchdowns in Columbus.
Yeah, exactly. There's no really winning. I mean, based on the question you asked, there's really no win scenario for that. But I do think that probably the one that would cause the least amount of damage would be if we just took a year without making the playoff and kind of just found our groove again. Let's talk a little bit more about the past week real quick, because like I said, I'm on a time crunch. I've got to get out of here today. Colorado beats Utah 49-24. Didn't really look like that one was very competitive from the start. I know Utah gave a little bit of a fight for about 5 minutes, and it looked like the Buffaloes just dominated. JD, your thoughts on that one?
Actually, quite the contrary. Like, I know, don't look at the final score, right? Don't look at it. Utah actually probably played their best game of the season post Cam Rising. So they showed a little bit of fight. Offense actually put up some numbers. So, I mean, Colorado's just doing Colorado things right now, and they're just out talenting teams right now, including Utah. Utah's never been a talent heavy team. They rely on good coaching and being disciplined. But yeah, I think it was a good game to watch.
Baylor moves to 6-4 with a 49-35 win over West Virginia. I know they're not great, JD, but is it time to just go ahead and admit that Baylor is definitely better than we gave him credit for?
No, I think it's time to give Dave Aranda credit for being better than we thought he was. Well, not all of us. I know you and I were both still like, he's a very, very good coach. He's just not, he's not a player's coach. And that's kind of what you get. Like, he's still a very good coach and still very capable of producing a good record. Also, West Virginia, what are you doing? Neil Brown, you either got to send him or keep him and really build around him, but you can't be doing this sitting in fluctuation right now.
Obviously, we were just talking about Arizona State. I mean, this is a big win. I mean, personally, though, I don't know if it's as big a win as we're making it out to be, because Kansas State, I genuinely don't know how they went into this week ranked 16. They really have not shown that they're the Kansas State team. I feel like there's a lot of ranking nostalgia coming from the committee, because I don't see Kansas State as one of the top teams in the conference right now. And this past week, I feel proved it to me.
Yeah, I mean, you saw a lot of Avery Johnson growing pains as you have all season in their losses. Is, he's not everything you need him to be yet, and he still could get to that point. But yeah, Kansas State just isn't Kansas State this year. But also, no one in the Big 12 is themselves this year. It's a really odd season. Also, shout out to Dillingham and Arizona State, who some people on the show didn't like the hire. Some people did really like the hire. Not saying names, but he's doing a really good job at Arizona State right now.
I'm gonna have to swallow my pride, and I will do it if they make it to Arlington. If they don't make it to Arlington, I'm gonna stand my ground, but I'll give them some credit.
I'll live with that.
All right. Iowa State beats Cincinnati 34-17. Are you officially off the Bearcat train now?
No, I'm officially on the Iowa State pick a week to be good train. You kind of were in the BYU train where you weren't really that good, but you looked better than BYU had, and you lose to Texas Tech, who, shocker, everyone was out on them. And then you play Cincinnati. Well, like, I didn't like that. I didn't, not one bit. I'm gonna go burn a couch.
That's West Virginia, but okay.
I know, I still want to burn one.
That's not what I would say. That's West Virginia, but I got it. Obviously, we just talked about it. Kansas beat BYU 17-13. And Friday night, Arizona, a team we're about to talk about here in the next few minutes, took down Houston 27-3. Before I ask you whether or not this scares you based on how TCU played Houston, does this boost your opinion on Arizona at all? Because they still need one more win to be bowl eligible. They're not looking that great this season, when we thought they might be pretty good. What did this game do for you?
One confused me more on Houston because, again, like, we just need some consistency for some teams in the Big 12. I have dubbed Houston the, giant killers, and maybe it's because Arizona's having a bad season. That's why they lost. But I don't think it really moves the needle too much. And I know we're about to talk Arizona, Only thing is that Arizona's maybe they're starting to get their offense to roll back again like they should. And they talked about 2 weeks ago when they went into bye week that they were going to try to get more going with Territory McMillan and Noah Fifita. So maybe we're starting to see that. But still, Arizona's defense is so bad, man, that I don't think it matters this week.
Okay, that was the last game that we had to talk about from this past week. We did get through that pretty quick, and I'm glad. So you bring up the defense. My question is, are we this confident in our offense that we should be feeling this good about how bad their defense is? Because even though their defense is bad, they only gave up 3 points to Houston. We gave up how much? 30?
I don't think that's a transitive property game that you could put together.
I don't
TCU's had
know.
over 30 points their last three games. And you know I am the biggest offense pessimist in probably the country. But I haven't been because I genuinely believe that Kendall Briles has kind of found something that really is working right now. Whatever the Savion package is working, Trent Battles seems to be doing good back there. Cam Cook is, figuring out how to run up field, and he looks really good. Jeremy Payne is still an elite talent out of the backfield at such a young age. And I mean, with the receivers that we have, and the Arizona secondary is just really, really poor. They have no one that they could throw on Savion 1-on-1 or Jack Besh 1-on-1 or JPR 1-on-1, and they'd feel confident about it. So, I mean, and another thing to think about is Josh Hoover's only taken 11 sacks this year. Yeah, it really hasn't been sacked at all a lot. So, and Arizona's defensive line isn't the greatest at getting rushed to the quarterback. One thing I did tweet about with Josh Hoover, and if you want to see the tweet, it's on JD Andrews 11 on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. But Josh Hoover's very insanely close to breaking the school record for the all-time passing yards in a single season.
Yeah.
He needs to average 335 for the next two games. He could still hit it with the bowl game, but it gets really dicey if people consider that as part of the season or not. I will count it as part of the season because
I count it. Yeah.
Trayvon Boykins counts his yards from there. So I'm 90% confident Josh Hoover will break the record.
Can I say that, by the way? I don't understand why the NFL does that. Like, playoff records don't count. Like, they count in high school to your overall record. They obviously count in bowl games and have for all of history. Why does the NFL do that? That the postseason doesn't count for stats?
I know it's different with college because college, everyone, if you made a bowl game or even made the national championship, it was always you only had one game. So everyone is kind of on an even playing field. NFL's a little different,
Yeah,
especially because
but.
there's such few teams that actually made the NFL playoffs prior to the last like 6 years when they added the two extra wild cards.
Right, but like here in Texas, the best, I mean, you have to be the best of the best to play 16 games, but the best programs are playing 16 games. I mean, shoot, even there are even some that you can consider the best are only playing 14, and that's still more than most college schools are playing. So I don't understand why the NFL does that. Anyway, we can have that conversation another time. JD, what's the key for the Horned Frogs to win this game?
For the offense, it is to just keep doing what they're doing. They don't really have to press. They don't have to do anything special. There's nothing that they have to even key in on the defense. There's not a cornerback they'd have to worry about throwing their way. There's not an edge rusher they have to worry about getting free. There's not a linebacker they have to worry about ball hawking. Like, just do what you have been doing, and this will go really well. I do think it'll be interesting because Sonny Dykes alluded to it today, and we kind of saw it in the Oklahoma State game, is that Ryan Hughes, he's a freshman offensive lineman, should be getting a lot of reps coming soon. So we'll be interesting to see if there's any other places that kind of get swapped out to start getting some reps for next season. And just to see kind of how it works and if they struggle at the time. But the defensive side of the ball, biggest thing for them is to get off the field on third and fourth down. Same thing that they've found success in. Arizona gets off the field on third and fourth down or succeeds on third and fourth down just under 40% of the time, which is 81st in college football, which is pretty bad. But on the other side, on third and fourth down, opponent offenses against TCU's defense are converting just at 42%, which is 86 in the country. So it's kind of a pretty interesting battle, and I think that's where TCU's defense can They can really take a step up, especially with the additions of Marcus Dio and Cooper McDonald, who are confirmed to be back for this weekend's game. Should be a really, really good weekend for the team overall.
I'm putting the over under on Eric McAllister touching the ball at 1.5. What do you take?
Under. I don't think he's needed for this game. I don't think that the offense will look for that big playability like they typically use him for.
Okay, fair enough. I still think he needs the ball more, in my opinion, but I get
Speaking
it.
of receivers who need the ball more,
Go ahead.
Dylan Wright, transfer
Yep.
from Minnesota, is no longer with the TCU football program. I'm not going to talk about why because there's nothing that's been confirmed, and I don't want to speculate on anything, but we do know for sure that Dylan Wright is no longer with the program. So that's wasn't really the game changer for it anyway. So it's not the world's biggest loss, but he was still a really good talent that I really was high on before the season started.
All right, now here we go. Because, like I said, time crunch. I apologize to all of our fans, but next week will be long. We'll have two shows next week over Thanksgiving, and we'll make those a little bit longer. But I am on a time crunch and not feeling the best. So, JD, it is at home. The Horned Frogs are favored by 12, 2 p.m. kick on ESPN Plus. What are you thinking? Favored by 12.
Nolan, you're making me work too hard because so I'm writing the TCU betting article that will be out Friday. If you want to look, I'll put the final line out on what it is and what I think, you should do responsibly, of course, if you should take the which line you should take and over under. But as of right now, because the line's already moved 2.5 points, TCU opened as 10-point favorites. It is now at 12.5. Because of that, it's telling me a lot of money's getting put on TCU. But I don't think I'm going to take TCU to cover right now. I think Terry McMillan is just really, really good. I mean, he's a top two receiver in all of college football. So I expect him to have a big game. TCU has really, really good secondary and they force a lot of turnovers, but they don't have one single-handed guy that they can just throw on an island and feel good about it. So that's the only thing that really worries me.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with you on this. I don't think we cover either. This feels kind of like a trap game to me, actually. When you're playing a team that is aware that their postseason is on the line, that's kind of a dangerous team to play because they're gonna throw stuff at you that you might not be ready to see. I still think we squeak it out just because I agree with you about Arizona's defense. I don't think they're that great. I think we can definitely. I don't think this will necessarily be a foot race, but I do think that the first one to reach 30 wins this game, but I still think that Arizona will keep it close enough. I don't think we cover either, but I'm still taking the Frogs. 2:30 kick on ESPN national broadcast. When we were talking about earlier, BYU and Arizona State. And here's what's crazy: in Tempe, the Sun Devils are favored by 3. JD, what do you think?
As they should be. And I think I'd actually probably take them to cover by at least a touchdown. I don't know, man. I've never been big on BYU, and you know this, and everyone listening knows this, but Sun Devils found something working. I mean, Kyle Dillingham is a fantastic coach. Let me repeat that. He's a fantastic coach and a really good fit for Arizona State. And people should have seen that before the season started, like some others did. But anyways, yeah, I'm really, really big on Arizona State right now. And I know you have been too. You even projected them to reach conference
I
championship a
did.
few weeks back. So credit to you. You're 50-50 on things right about Arizona State so far this season. So
And
good job. But
you know
yeah.
what? And you know what? I'll take the crow on Dillingham because, I'm going to say something that I've never said on this show before. So save this moment. JD, you have convinced me. I'm taking Arizona State. I don't even say a touchdown. I say two touchdowns. Sun Devils win this game. Now, yes, I came on to the Sun Devils pretty strong about halfway through the season, and I've still been riding that train. I don't remember who it was they lost to the week after I kind of got hyped up about it, but they bounced back with a win. Now they got the biggest game of their season so far. It's at home. It is basically for the right to go to Arlington. It's an afternoon game in the Arizona November sun, which sucks this time of year. Don't get confused about Arizona and it's, coming on winter. Arizona sucks. So I think that this is playing very much to the favor of the Sun Devils. I'm going to take the Sun Devils by, I'm going to take them by 11. That's what I'm going to say.
Maybe there are Christmas miracles.
It's not Christmas yet, though, and you just said you hate Christmas, so
I
let's
know
not
you
go
might
into
convince me to like Christmas now.
that.
You keep telling me I convinced you. Hey, tell me I'm right, and I'll believe in Christmas miracles all day.
A point I just made about a team with postseason rights on the line can be a dangerous team. That's the that is the case with the Kansas Jayhawks. 2:30 kick at in Kansas City at Arrowhead on Fox. They're hosting the Colorado Buffaloes, and as good as Colorado's looked, especially in the last few weeks, do you think this is a trap game? I'm not quite saying that the Jayhawks are going to win. Colorado is only a 2.5 point favorite. I'm not saying the Jayhawks are going to win, but this feels like a game that's a bit of a trap for Deion Sanders and his squad.
No, not at all. Give me Colorado by 17.
Okay.
Jalen Daniels has really, really looked good and remembered how to play quarterback extremely well. I just don't buy it. I fully expect Colorado to come in, and I mean, if you still look, Kansas's defense still isn't really, really good. They've been struggling quite a bit lately, even in their wins. So I think Colorado's just going to come in and still take care of business pretty handedly.
I agree. I'm not going to go quite as big as you. I'm not going to say 17, but I do take the Buffaloes to cover this. But I will call this one as my trap game of the week. Do not be surprised if you see the Jayhawks kind of sneak up and give the Buffaloes a game. Again, I'm not calling it. I'm not saying they're going to win, but don't be surprised if this one ends up being closer than expected, which clearly Vegas agrees with Colorado only being a 2.5 point favorite. 2:30 on ESPN Plus in Stillwater, Oklahoma. The 3-7 Cowboys still searching for their first conference win against Texas Tech. Red Raiders are favored by 3.5, JD.
Trap game of the week.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, no, I already have this one in plan. Again, nothing gets scarier than Mike Gundy with nothing to lose. But on the other side, nothing is scarier than believing in the Texas Tech team, which their fans have started to do again. So, yeah, I'm going to take Oklahoma State to win this one.
Okay. All right. This is the one we're gonna disagree on and the one we're gonna be texting back and forth on Saturday because I'm gonna take Tech to cover. I think Tech has found a groove. I think that they are rolling. I don't think they're gonna be in Arlington like I predicted. How long ago was that? A month ago now. That's not gonna happen. But I just do not believe in this Oklahoma State team. And JD, I will talk to you about this off air actually, but I have some insight coming from some people in Stillwater. And folks are not happy. And so I agree with you about Gundy not really having anything to lose at this point. But I think that he overcorrects. I think that he gets his in his own head. I'm going to take the Red Raiders to cover in this one.
Are you saying you believe in Texas Tech?
No, I just don't believe in Mike Gundy or Oklahoma State.
But you believe in Texas Tech to cover.
Yes.
Right, that's all I needed to hear. Curse has been put on.
All right,
You
now there you go.
believe in Joey Maguire. That's where you faltered. I'm sorry. The curse, you just put the curse on yourself.
JD and I will be texting back and forth on Saturday afternoon about that one, I'm sure. Same time kickoff on ESPNU. The UCF Golden Knights travel to Morgantown to take on the West Virginia Mountaineers. West Virginia needs a win to become bowl eligible. UCF needs to win to keep their bowl hopes alive. One more loss, they're out. West Virginia, I'm sorry, UCF favored by 3 in Morgantown.
Can we call this the loser gets fired game? Because it's more and more
Probably,
trending
yeah.
that way.
Probably.
I believe, I mean, Gus just has lost control of the program completely at UCF, and Neil Brown is Neil Brown.
I was never a believer in Neil Brown at West Virginia either. I know I kind of thought highly of the Mountaineers, but yeah, the way the season's gone, yeah,
Yeah,
I'm with you on this one.
I think the loser, your seat becomes scorching hot.
So UCF favored by 3. What's your pick?
Disgusting and not watching it, but probably UCF. Which, by the way, I hate the color yellow in jerseys, especially both of these teams' yellows. It's not looking forward.
To cover or no?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, God, I feel gross.
I'm going to take UCF, but not to cover. I think this comes down to whoever has the ball last. I think this could very well be decided by an extra point or a 2-point conversion. And the biggest thing I'm going to mention it is the November weather in Morgantown, which nobody in UCF is going to be prepared for. I think they're going to come out sluggish. I think you're probably going to see West Virginia take an early lead. Probably going to see UCF fight back like they did. Sorry to give you PTSD, like they did against TCU. And I think it comes down to last possession. I'm still going to take UCF. I think they'll pull it out in the last minute or two. 3 points, though. No, I'm not going to take the cover. I think this comes down to about an extra point or a 2-point conversion, probably. 6 o'clock, Fox Sports 1 in Houston at formerly Robertson Stadium. What is it now? What's that stadium? I don't remember.
Empty.
The Houston Cougars, a loss eliminates them from postseason contention. Baylor has already clinched postseason play at 6-4, but the Bears are on the road to play the Cougars for the first time since the Cougars have joined the conference. Obviously, lost that overtime thriller last year. Baylor's favored by 8 on the road.
Yeah, Baylor to win and cover.
I completely agree. I don't think we need to spend any more time on that one. Iowa State is going to Salt Lake City. Iowa State is 8-2, basically playing for their lives in Arlington, trying to get back into the conference championship, playing the Utes. Much like a lot of other teams in the conference, the Utes are fighting. One more loss, their postseason hopes are thrashed. This is a 6:30 kick on Fox in Salt Lake City. Cyclones favored by 7.5.
Man, Utah and Utah to cover.
Really?
Yeah. I think Utah might have figured something out on offense last week. And Iowa State isn't a very high-powered offense on their own. So I think that they'll be able to keep it close. So I'm kind of.
Oh no, not just keep it close. The Cyclones are a 7.5 point favorite, and you said Utah and Utah
Yeah.
to cover.
Yeah, I think they'll keep it close though until like the last quarter.
Okay.
Rocco Becht is still pretty young that I think he'll force a ball that leads to a pick six that lets Utah cover.
Excuse me. I'm going to say Iowa State wins. I'm going to say they don't cover. I'm going to say Iowa State wins by a field goal.
Okay. I respect it for
And
once.
the final kickoff of the weekend in the Big 12, the team that JD is not ready to quit on because he's blaming everybody else. The Cincinnati Bearcats are going to Manhattan to take on the Kansas State Wildcats, who for the first time all season, not ranked. At 7-3, but the Wildcats at home are an 8.5 point favorite. 7 o'clock kick on ESPN2 at Bill Snyder. JD, what are you thinking?
Cincinnati by a field goal.
Really?
I think you're
Okay.
going to see this Kansas State team kind of give up. They're not ranked. They're not playing for anything. It's the first time a lot of these players in this program have felt that way. Like, I think you might see them give up a little bit.
All right, make that twice in one episode. JD, you've convinced me actually, because Cincinnati fighting for its postseason life in this one and Kansas State having already clinched. Yeah, you've convinced me. You haven't convinced me enough. I'm still going to take Kansas State to win, but the 8.5 points, I don't say they cover. I think the Bearcats give this one a really, really good game.
I can respect it, but not a lot. Slightly.
Hey. You know what? Until the Bearcats actually show me something that gets me to raise my eyebrows and go, "Wow, JD was right," and at which point I will say on these airwaves, "JD was right."
I've already clipped that part. Don't
I'll do
worry.
no 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 I'll do the whole Happy Gilmore monologue for you, where he's like, "I'm stupid, you're smart, you were right, I was wrong, you're good looking." I'll do that whole Happy Gilmore monologue. The day the Bearcats do something that makes me raise my eyebrows and go, "Oh, wow."
Wow, the monkey ball just curled, and now they're projected to beat TCU by 4 touchdowns next weekend. So that'll be an interesting episode, Nolan, if that happens.
Right. Well, if they beat Kansas State, that actually might happen before the fact. JD, any last thoughts before we go into this final, not final week. We got what, 2 weeks, 2, 3 weeks left of regular season? 2 weeks? Yeah. 2 weeks left of regular season. How you feeling, man? We're coming in on conference championships.
BYU lost, so really honestly, at this point, I'm just coasting through the rest and enjoying it.
Let me ask you this actually as a final question. Is there any out of Big 12 take that you have that you want to make known?
I think it's really ridiculous that people are saying that Indiana was too overranked. I mean, we just talked about it with BYU being, highly ranked, and they didn't look good. The difference was is Indiana was beating the crap out of teams. Like, they deserved their high ranking. They weren't just like barely getting by. The only game they barely got by was Michigan. And like, Michigan was still a blowout until Michigan came back late in, the last quarter. Like, Indiana was a different wavelength. So to compare them to BYU is a joke. And I'm really, really hoping they pull it out against Ohio State this weekend because I don't want Will Howard to have happiness. So.
All right. Well, that is the pessimist of killerfrogs.com speaking to everything that he hates, which he did very well today. Frog fans, that does it for the 23rd episode of the Gridiron Frogs podcast as a part of TCU Horned Frogs on SI. Thank you so much for tuning in, listening, watching, however you find your podcasts. We'll see you next week earlier than usual because of the holiday. It's going to be a weird schedule. We're going to try to get the review out early. And the preview out probably by Black Friday morning. So thank you for listening and hope to see y'all next week. Until then, for my partner, JD Andres, and everybody at killerfrogs.com, I'm Nolan Ruth signing off. So long, everybody.